Imagine you woke up this morning and your business just vanished. Welcome to Survival Mode, a podcast that explores how entrepreneurs handle hard decisions in times of crisis. I'm Matthias, and together with Digital Switzerland, we explore what it means to have a hard pivot, go through rapid scaling, or put your startup into hibernation mode. What do you do if all of a sudden people are too afraid to use your product? Arthur, CEO and co-founder of OneDuck, elaborates how they built and scaled a completely new service to help their struggling customers in times of corona. OneDuck is a Swiss startup that provides the biggest online booking platform for doctors in Switzerland. And they just opened up a new office in Zurich. Arthur, thank you so much for having time with us. Pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me, Matthias.
So let's dive right into it. Corona happened. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Corona happened, which was, you know, a bit bad for us, because we just hired three additional new employees that started the 1st of April, which is always difficult, you know, when we have people starting in different locations and that have to start remotely, basically. So, but I think that, like, For every business, basically, you know, Corona has impacted a lot, at least the organization and the way that we are working. So we really needed to adapt. Huh?
I agree, and it's interesting as well. So you guys are in the healthcare business, and I think it's one of the sectors more affected by it. And we quickly discussed it before. So could you quickly elaborate, how did this crisis impact your sector and your business in the way?
Yes. So basically, you know, we are doing online bookings for doctors. I'm sure that, you know, all of you have heard in the news that patients right now are not really seeing doctors. They don't want to get out of the house. They are a bit, you know, scared of getting outside, which is, of course, understandable. And basically, you know, doctors, they have a huge drop in the number of patients that they see. I mean, some of them, you know, they have like 80 to 90% less business than usual. So of course it's not as bad as a restaurant or as a hairdresser that they had to close completely. But a lot of doctors, they have a huge drop, you know, in the number of patients that they see. And of course we can feel that in OneDuck, because patients are not booking anymore appointments with doctors. And we are an online booking platform, which is for us a problem. That's why we had, you know, to find a little bit of new ideas of what we could do to basically always serve our clients and the patients that are using OneDuck better.
Great. So could you elaborate that a bit? So what are the measurements you took out of it?
So basically, as patients cannot or do not want to go see a doctor physically right now, but they are still, you know, they are still sick, or they still need to at least, you know, have a discussion with the doctor. If you are doing a follow-up, maybe you cannot postpone your follow-up for 6 months. Or if you need an urgent, you know, if you need to go to see the doctor for an urgent matter, you need to do it right now, and you shouldn't wait until this crisis is over. So basically, we developed an online or a video consultation module, which is fully integrated with OneDuck and with the softwares that the doctors are using to allow them to basically see patients, but not physically in a virtual, you know, consultation room. Of course, all the data is based in Switzerland. Nothing transits out of the US. Everything is encrypted. And this is something that, you know, we really want to offer to the doctors that are using us, basically a secure way of still being to care for their patients.
That's incredible. So what I think is interesting, I guess you had the idea before Corona, the crisis. What was the hold back in the day? Why didn't it work?
We had this idea for actually a while, and it was in our roadmap. As I said before, you know, we are working with a lot of doctors, and we tried to push this idea before the corona, and most of the time the answer was, well, we don't want to see patients online. We don't want to have a video call with patients. We want to see physically the patients. We want to be able, you know, to basically touch them, to see them real, to be able to do physical exams on the patients. Basically, you know, these video consultations, it was not something that the doctor wanted. And for us, it was very hard to push it to doctors. Basically, you know, they really wanted to see the patients physically. Now, with the corona, they have no choice. The patients are not going to see them, and they need to adapt, and they need to find another way of basically consulting. And this is a good thing for us because it really allowed us to push, you know, this new product, this new module forward, which, you know, has worked very well. And we launched it last week. Now we have a bit more than 300 video consultation per day. Wow. Which, you know, in a week is quite big numbers for the small country that Switzerland is.
I agree. So when was the decision when you decided, okay, we have to shift? This is going to impact us. This is going to impact our end customer. We had to shift. When was that moment when you made the decision?
Yes, I think it was mid-March. Basically, when they announced that, you know, all the non-essential, you know, shops would have to close, and basically they sent also like something to the doctors saying that all the non-urgent consultations should be postponed as well. And this is when we realized that, you know, even if in the first glance we thought that doctors will not be impacted by this coronavirus, we really now understood that actually they will be impacted, and some, I mean, depending on their specialty, sometimes they are really, really impacted. Maybe, you know, the general care doctor is less impacted than a specialist, you know, who basically, doesn't treat really urgent matters.
Mm-hmm. Agree. So, quick question then. So you do it since a week, you already have great numbers. What is interesting for me, so what are the learnings or the feedback you get from doctors and from patients?
In the vast majority of the case, they are actually really happy. So we had to work to make it as easy as possible, which was also a challenge because technically, you know, the video can be impacted by a lot of different things. If you are using a firewall, if you need to download an app or not, and I mean, it's a bit complicated. And I think that our team has been able to do a great job to make it as easy and as seamless as possible for the patients and for the doctors. And the feedbacks that we are having are actually very good. Doctors, they are discovering this new way of consulting, and they're actually noticing that it works. It doesn't work in all of the cases, of course, but it works in some cases. For example, if you need to do a follow-up, if you had, for example, an operation to the knee or somewhere, you can still do something, you know, remotely. It can also be used for a refill of the prescriptions, all these kind of things. When you know the doctor, you don't need to physically show up to the cabinet to have your prescription refilled. For a lot of doctors, it allows them to do basically a triage, mm-hmm, before a consultation or before a physical consultation. Like, let's do a 15-minute video call together, and then we can discuss. I can maybe see from the expressions of your face if, yes, we need to actually see each other physically or if it can be treated remotely. And I think that in the future and moving forward, this may be a new way for them to also prioritize a little bit better which patients need actually to physically show up to the practice and which one can be really treated remotely because it's not an urgent matter or it's an easy matter to treat. Huh?
I think it's super interesting. I mean, we had that in education as well. So all of a sudden, you're forced to learn new tools. And I mean, you see it a lot in e-commerce. I wouldn't say it's the one or the other, but it's a shift, right? So that will help the industry quite a lot. What do you think? Are they going to stick to it, or is it just going to disappear after this crisis?
To be fair, I hope that they stick with it. But I mean, we are never sure. Huh? We are never sure. I think that that some of them will you know, continue using this to make them, you know, basically better care for their patients. Because in the end, you know, a doctor, you work for your patient. I mean, the goal is to treat them and to treat them well. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's a tool that can really help in some cases. It will probably be used less than now because now they have no choice. They need to do it remotely. But maybe in 6 months from now, they will still continue doing it for not the majority of their patient, but for some patient that, you know, can that can be treated that way. So my guess is that it will stay and that it will be a new tool for doctors to really better care for their patients.
Great. One quick question to pivot or to shift the business or business model as you did in a way. How can you be prepared for that? And what does it mean on a team perspective? I guess you still, they worked on different tasks and now all of a sudden you shuffle them all up. How did that work?
Well, I think that you can really not prepare for that. And no one was really prepared for what happened. I mean, if 3 months ago, I mean, really, I think no one has ever envisioned what would happen now 3 months ago. So you cannot prepare for that. But I think you should be able, and especially as a startup, you should be able to adapt quickly. I mean, it's not worth it, you know, continuing working on your regular tasks when you know that basically the world is undergoing a big change and that everyone has to shift and to adapt the way they are working. So I think that as a company, you should be and you should be able to adapt quickly and to react quickly to these kind of things. Hopefully it doesn't happen too often in the future. But I mean, for us, it was something really, really natural. Everyone was on board with this idea, and everyone was fighting, you know, for us to also keep, you know, the business and to try to keep our growth. As I said before, and we are hiring a lot of people, and for us, you know, even if it's not a drop in our revenue, because once again, you know, we continue working, we still have a lot of customers, huh? It's a hit in our growth, and when you are hiring a lot of people and your growth is not as big as it should have been, it starts to be a problem. So we had a great team. Everyone understood the challenges. Everyone was on board to really try to adapt as much as possible to this kind of new module, new functionalities. And for example, our dev team, you know, they all agreed to work weekends and nights to really be able to deliver the functionalities when we need it.
That's incredible. How easy would it be to scale up? I talked about how is hiring in such a time as well? You don't really see the people. Is that possible?
It's difficult. It's really difficult. So, for example, tonight we have a team apéro. Of course, it's going to be a team apéro remotely, but at least we can spend some time, you know, outside of work, let's say, with our new hires. But it's really difficult because you are not able to see the people. And I mean, for me, it's really important to really see people, to spend time with people, to be able to show them well, you know, what we expect, how we work. I mean, I've never been a big fan of, you know, working from home, because in my opinion, you know, we should have, you know, a team that actually likes to spend time, you know, together. If you don't like to spend time in the office, it probably means that the workspace that you are created is not great. And actually, a lot of our colleagues they are calling me saying, "Hey, do you think we can come back to the office? When can we get back?" Because we want them to be happy here and to want to spend some time in the office. So hiring people and having people start completely remotely, and that we don't see them maybe for three weeks or 1 month, is very difficult. It takes a lot more time than if they were really physically present in the office with you and we could show them easily things. So it's a bit of a challenge, But, you know, once again, I think we are lucky to be in this position rather than having a chain of restaurants that need to find a way, you know, to occupy or just to pay the their employees, huh?
Agree. So let's move a little bit beyond Corona, I hope. So what do you expect to be the long lasting effect of this crisis to you and your business?
Well, to us, I think, and once again, I cannot really predict the future, but based on what I understood from our customers, it's really now undergoing a big change in the way that they will work and in the way that they will approach, you know, the meetings they have with patients or the technology that they are using to care for patients. And I think that in the medical field, for a long time, a lot of people thought that it would not be possible to do things remotely, that you need to go physically to see people. Now we are really seeing that it's something that that is not completely true, and that many things can be done remotely. It can be around, you know, sensors that people bring back home so that the doctor can monitor the health of the patients, or video consultations, even consultations by telephone. A lot of them are doing this right now. And I think that this will change a little bit the way, you know, doctors and hospitals and medical centers have been working. And for me, it will be a lasting effect, especially because, you know, the crisis will not be over at the end of the month of April. And in the head of people, you know, I think it will really take a few months, even a few years, to get back to the state that we were before, you know, a bit carefree, going out in the street, being 55 people in a bus that can only allow 25 people. This is something that will take some time to recover from.
I agree. So one last question. What do you hope for? What do you think should be the learnings we take out of this?
Well, I think the learning is that the world will not be the same as before. And we should really keep that in mind, you know, moving forward and not making the same stupid mistakes that we did before.